the Apostle Paul has just said in verse 12 that these individuals to whom he is writing were called by God unto His kingdom and glory. And then in verse 13 he says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing." I think the Apostle Paul is probably at this point responding to something that had been communicated to him by Timothy, as Timothy had returned to him after a period of time when Paul and Silvanus and Timothy had left Thessalonica, and because of the persecution they had gone kind of south, a little west and then the east and to other cities. One of them was Athens, and it was from Athens that Paul waited for Timothy, a word from Timothy. And you see that in chapter 3 and in verse 5, Paul writes, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith." He was concerned about them because he knew they were being persecuted. He knew that there were problems. He was concerned about what effect that would have upon them. And so he sent Timothy back. It seems like Timothy was probably there for some time. We don't know exactly how long. But Timothy came back. And verse 6 says, "But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and what you have good, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us," and so forth. There's probably from that interaction that Timothy had with Paul, reporting as to what was going on there in Thessalonica, that Paul says what he says here in verse 13. In fact, some people have actually said they believe this is a later insertion into the letter. I don't think so. I think Paul is responding here to what he is hearing is going on, and he's thanking God. And the way he writes this, he says, "For this cause also thank we God." In other words, I don't think it's so much that he does add to it. He says "because," and so he goes further. But I think this word "also" connects with their thanksgiving. I hear that you are thanking God, and we thank God also with you. There is this community thanksgiving that's going on here, as Paul writes. "So for this cause also thank we God without ceasing." Does it strike you as overkill, overdoing it, that Paul says he thanks God without ceasing? Without ceasing. I mean, he's already talked about it back in verse 2. He said, we give thanks to God always for you all. There's something in you to say, okay, Paul, we get it. You're thankful. Now let's move on to something else. It's like Paul can't get away from this. Without ceasing, always, as he thinks about what God has done, as he thinks about the response of these individuals to the preaching of the gospel, he is motivated to ceaseless thanksgiving. And of course, you know, that doesn't mean every moment of every hour of every day. It just simply means it filled his mind, this thanksgiving to God. He couldn't get away from giving thanks to God. And it's because Paul understood some things. Paul understood the nature of man. Paul understood. He writes about it back in Romans chapter 3, verse 11. "There's none that understands. There's none that seeks after God." And yet here these people are seeking after God. They're understanding something. Paul had his own testimony, didn't he? And his own testimony, we dealt with that in 1 Timothy. And he says there in chapter 1, verse 12, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord." He can't get away from this. "Who has enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Ministry who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious, but I obtained mercy. "Because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. I was the chief of sinners. How be it? For this cause I obtained mercy, that in me Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting, like those in Thessalonica. Paul understood the nature of man, that unless God did something, unless God intervened, men would continue as they were. He knew he would have continued. He wasn't seeking God. Paul understood the nature of grace. That's why he wrote what he wrote. In places like Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And there is no boasting in this thing of salvation, because it is all of grace. That's why Paul wrote in this second letter to Timothy in chapter 1 in verse 9, "Who hath saved us," that is God, "according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling by that gospel, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Paul knew it was a miracle of God's grace that the Thessalonians responded as they did. As he traveled about the world as a servant of the Lord, he was accustomed to rejection. He was accustomed to persecution. Verse 2 of this chapter, "Even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi." Look down at verses 15 and 16. Talking about the Jews, "who hath both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us." Verse 16, "forbidding us to speak." That's what Paul was used to. And so the response that he was met with in Thessalonica, the response to the preached Word of God, provoked perpetual thanksgiving to God, as well it should. It could have gone differently. In fact, had God not intervened, it would have gone differently. But God did something. And so thanks to God, like with Lydia in Philippi, the city before Thessalonica, he opened her heart, and then the jailer. That's what God does when the preaching of the gospel goes forth. And so Paul gives thanks. No, it's not overkill. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing." We should as well, shouldn't we? Without ceasing, where the gospel is heard and received and it impacts lives, we should constantly give thanks to God. We should constantly give. Every week, it should be part of our expression to God in this assembly. Thank God. There are believers here. Thank God for that. Without ceasing. Paul's confidence was, as an apostle, was not primarily his confidence as one sent by God, his confidence as a messenger of God, his confidence as a preacher, as a missionary, even as he functioned in pastoral roles. His confidence was not primarily in his own character and his own life, though that was important. We've seen that. He refers to it. We've dealt with it already in this letter. He speaks about it, and it was used by God. But his confidence was in the very Word of God through which God so powerfully worked in the Thessalonian believers. God called the Thessalonians to His kingdom and glory by the preaching of His gospel, God's gospel. In verse 13, Paul emphasizes the significance of their response to the Word they heard. It was that Word, especially the Word of God, that they responded to. Because when you received the Word of God, this is their response, which you heard of us, you received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. And he's giving thanks to God. But the motivation for that thanks to God is their reception of that Word. Paul's message was the Word of God. I know this is emphasized a lot. We've emphasized it already in this series of messages in 1 Thessalonians. I don't want to cease emphasizing it. What am I talking about? The preaching of this gospel, this message, the Word of God. Paul said in Galatians 1 and verse 11, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men." It's not our word. It's not our gospel. "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it by men, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." And when Paul speaks of this word that they received, this word that they heard, this word that was preached, he's not simply talking about his quoting of Scripture. In other words, it wasn't just standing out in some public place reading a Scripture. The devil and the Pharisees could do that and have done that. Ungodly men twist the Scripture for destructive ends. Peter reminds us of that in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16. The King James word is wrest, twist the Scriptures to their own destruction. They twist the Scriptures. It's not that they didn't use the Scriptures, they did. Paul's not talking about just simply using the Scriptures. Ungodly men can peddle the Word of God for personal gain or promotion. He talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And they adulterate the Word of God. They prostitute, as it were, the Word of God, using it for their own gain, for their own self-promotion. Paul was very different. These servants of God were very different, as are all servants of God. The word preached by these men was truly the Word of God, and the Thessalonians received it as so. And as these Jewish and Gentile sinners and idolaters in Thessalonica responded to the Word of God preached, their lives were changed. They forsook their cultural religions and were willing to suffer the reproach of Christ for a season, serving the living and true God. We'll look at this next week in verse 14. He says, "For you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus." And that following of those churches of God, which were in Christ Jesus in Judea, was suffering. "For you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, as they have of the Jews." But today I want to focus our attention on verse 13. Paul describes here the relationship that every child of God has with the Word of God. Every child of God has the relationship that is described here with the Word of God. Every true believer, from the day you first believe, from day one, and even as the Word of God is working in you, bringing you to that place, as the Puritans used to say, closing with Christ and continuing with Christ, the Word of God is involved. It is the experience of the changing power of the Word of God. So listen to the process Paul describes here and examine your own experience. Has God called you? And is He calling you through the gospel? Have you responded? Well, let's look at it. The first thing I see is there was a hearing of the Word of God. Paul says, "Because when you received the Word of God, which you heard of us. They came preaching. They came speaking. They came delivering, announcing the Word of God. And it was heard. It was heard. This word heard here refers to hearing. The hearing of the ear. It's the word. Sometimes it's translated ear in Scripture. They gave an ear to it. They actually heard the Word of God spoken by men. And if somebody wants to say, well, what about those who are deaf? Well, you know, I always love it when people throw the exceptions out. You know, well, what about this? Well, deaf people hear too, don't they? They just don't hear with the physical ear. They're hearing in their way. They hear through Braille. There's a hearing. In other words, you're receiving what's being communicated. However it is communicated. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call upon Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Hearing is important. Jesus gave a parable. You can read it in Luke chapter 8, verses 11 through 15. He told about four soils. It's familiar, isn't it? Four soils. There's some common things about all four soils. One is, well, some different things too. All the soils were different. But the one common thing is the seed is the same. It's the Word of God. Same seed, same Word preached. In every case, the Word, it was a true message. It was delivered. The seed was sown. The second thing that was true in every case, they heard. Every single one of them, it says, they heard, they heard, they heard, they heard. All four groups heard. Paul, Silas, and Timothy preached the Word of God. And these Thessalonians heard as the evangelists showed from the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. And you can go back to Acts 17 and see this. Who had died and rose again for the remission of their sin. That was the crux of their message. They opened up the Scriptures, it says, and they showed to them that this Jesus who must die and rise again is the Christ that is proclaimed in the Old Testament Scriptures. And this message of the Gospel had to be preached. If it wasn't preached, it wouldn't have been heard. Hearing the message is the first step in conversion. There will be no salvation without first hearing the Word of God. This is one of the reasons why it is so important that we are announcing the Gospel outside the four walls of this building. Announcing the Gospel to the world. This is one of the reasons this is so important. There are a lot of people who don't like that. They're like the Jews in verse 16, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles. Why are you forbidding them to speak to the Gentiles? That they might be saved. You say, people can be saved without the Word of God being preached. Well, Paul didn't think so. And God doesn't communicate the truth to us that way, does He? You've got to hear the Gospel. The Gospel must come to you. But simply hearing with the ear is not sufficient. Jesus talked about the Jews who heard but didn't hear. There's more than one level of hearing, isn't there? You can hear and not hear. Some of you have been hearing for a long time. Some of you have been hearing every week. Some of you have maybe even gone to the next step that we'll observe here. But you haven't gone. You haven't closed with Christ. We can be thankful for every time sinners hear the Word. We can be thankful every time the Gospel is proclaimed in truth. But Paul is giving thanks for more than that. And I am convinced that Paul's desire was that the Gospel have a greater effect than simply that it be heard. The second thing you see here is when you received the Word of God which you heard of us. You heard it and you received it. Seems sort of maybe simultaneously this happened. That being the case, this hearing would be more than just a physical hearing. There was something more going on. But you received the word. By the way, those of you who have the King James, you see that received is mentioned twice in this verse. They are not the same words. And I'll show you the difference here in a moment. The first one, the New King James has welcome for the second one, and I think that's a very good way to translate that. When you received the word of God, which you heard of us, they received what they heard. This speaks of mental consideration. They listened and were accepting of what they were hearing. They intellectually processed it. They considered it. In other words, the words of the preacher weren't the words of the preacher this morning to some of you. It's just a bunch of noise. Some of you are zoned out. Some of you are not listening. And so there's noise up there in the back. I was like, God, shut up. Maybe you're not thinking that, but you're somewhere else. It's just noise. Well, it wasn't just noise to these Thessalonians. They heard and they received. They were intellectually processing what was being said. Their minds were engaged. They favorably responded to what was being heard. It sounded good. It was worth considering. Don't you love it when you find somebody like that? When you're preaching the word to somebody? And it's like, okay, they're interested. they're receiving. They're interested in what I'm saying. That really gets exciting. I mean, you kind of figured it ought to be that way in the church, you know. Especially when you're somewhere else, you know, when I go to the prison every week and the guys actually act like they're interested. I mean, it's like, hey, they're receiving this. It gets exciting to see that. These Thessalonians were hearing something different. This wasn't just a man's philosophy. This wasn't what they were accustomed to. You know, the bypassers, those that went from city to city just announcing their philosophical thoughts. This was something different here is going on. This is a message. We've not heard anything quite like this before. Their interest was piqued and they were drawn in to consider it more deeply. There are many who hear and receive the Word of God at this level. There's no salvation apart from hearing and receiving the Word of God at this level. And yet at this point, there's still no evidence of salvation. Paul preached the Word of God, the gospel, at Athens. And all heard him preach. All who were there. Remember that at Mars Hill? Everyone that was there heard him preaching what he preached. And the scripture there says some received it. In this sense, it says, we will hear thee again on this matter. In other words, what you're saying is interesting. Some mocked him. But some said, we'll hear you again on this matter. They were thinking about it. They had received what was said. You recall when the Apostle Paul was standing before Agrippa. Agrippa said, almost, you persuade me to be a Christian. He got close. He was receiving the message. Was hearing it. Receiving it. Have you heard and received the Word of God with interest? Maybe you're one of those individuals who you're just continuing to learn. It's interesting. It's intriguing. It just intrigues you. You like all the different twists and turns. You know? And you really love it when you hear somebody preaching one thing and another thing. That really gets you excited. Pitting people against one another kind of a approach. All coming from the book, the same book. You're intrigued by the Word of God. You may even find some level of satisfaction in continuing to search. But you haven't yet heard the call of God to your soul through that Word. The gospel has not called you. You haven't heard Jesus. There is another step that Paul seems to identify here. He says, when you receive, this is why he's giving thanks. You heard, you received, and then the second one, you received. That which you heard of us, you received or welcomed. You received it not as the word of men, but, strong contrast here, as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in them, in you that believe. You not only received, you really received. Or you welcomed. There was an inward welcoming of the Word of God. It wasn't just intellectually processing. It wasn't just being intrigued by it. It entered into your very being. It sank down as it was affecting you, was touching you, as someone has said. In other words, the Thessalonians not only heard and intellectually understood the message, but they also appropriated and welcomed it into their hearts. Whenever I'm dealing with somebody privately, I just did this last week, and I'm going over the doctrines of the gospel, such as justification, and I like to stop and say, do you understand what I'm saying? And if they respond yes, and they can repeat back in their own words what I'm saying, I know they have at least received in the first sense of the word. They've received it. But I don't know yet if they have really received it, if they have welcomed it, if it has come down into their own being. Paul said it went beyond just the intellect here. You received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. They were convinced that they were hearing the very word of God. Not just the preacher's opinion. Not the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Like those who heard Peter at Pentecost, it says that they gladly received His word. You remember that's the word received here. That's that second received here. They gladly received His word. The word that He preached, the gospel. Received. Welcomed. The tense of that verb refers to a point in time. In other words, something happened. I mean, they didn't receive this like they received every message that they listened to. Lots of folks were announcing messages. Some of these were Jews. They had heard messages from the Old Testament scriptures. They had heard other philosophical thoughts. And they may have received those as well. Intellectually engaging with them. But this is something more than that. Something happened. And it seems from the tense of the verb, something happened at a point in time. There was an inward change in which what they were hearing, what they were considering, became something more than that. They were actually embracing it with approval. This truly is the Word of God. This is something otherworldly. This is something beyond the mind of a man. This is something that God is saying. Something powerful is happening at this point. Something powerful is happening when this begins to work in a person's life. And it's always exciting to see this transformation at work in a person. Why do I say something powerful is happening? Because the Scripture says the natural man receives not. That's the word here. Receives not. That's the second receive. The natural man. The natural man can intellectualize. The natural man can engage with their minds. They can do the first receiving. They can't the second receiving here. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. And at some point the natural mind is going to reject if that's all there is. But when God is at work, this is why we thank God. That's why Paul is saying, we just thank God continually without ceasing. Because you didn't just intellectually engage with us. You received this. You welcomed this. And you see, no person is saved who does not receive the Word of God in this way. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10 says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. It's talking about the deception of Satan there. You understand there is a deceiver. You understand there is this being who roams about. You understand that Satan would have no problem with you intellectually engaging with even the true gospel. But he doesn't want you going further than that. And so there is a blindness. You can read about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Read about it. And so that you do not receive. There's a blockage. And so Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2:10 that there is this deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they received, that's our word, not the love of the truth that they might be saved. This is a salvation issue here. Receiving. Every true believer welcomes the Word of God in the Gospel. Welcomes it. I mean, welcomes it, receives it. In Acts 8:14, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the Word of God. That's our word. That's the second receive here. Acts 8:14. They sent unto them Peter and John. It wasn't simply when the gospel had been preached. It's when they heard that they had received it. They had received the Word of God. They dispatched to see what was going on. Acts 11 and verse 1, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the Word of God. This is what happens. Receiving the Word of God. God is speaking. And you receive it as such. Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures whether these things were so. This is one of the characteristics of the life of a believer. You don't just intellectualize gospel truth and the Scriptures. You actually welcome it. It becomes a part of you. Which leads me to this final part. Receiving is really closely connected. This second receiving is really closely connected, if not synonymous, with believing. I made four distinctions here in preparing the message, but I'm not so convinced that they're really all that distinct. They're distinct, but they work together here. But this conversion here, and it's believing. He says, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. Believers, the ones believing. Those of you who believe. There's a working in you of this Word that you've heard and you've received, and then you've received it. You've welcomed it. And you've welcomed. Faith is mixed with the hearing. You understand. This is a truth that Paul talks about in Hebrews chapter 4. In verse 2 he says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached or heard, that's the word, heard, did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. When the gift of faith comes under the hearing of the Word, and it happens that way, you know, for faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. By the way, the Word of God there is not the word logos, the Word of God. It's the word rhema, which emphasizes the spoken Word. And I'm inclined to think that that's not just the spoken Word of the preacher, but that's God Himself speaking through that Word. And when that happens, faith. 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 And there is a uniting of that Scripture, the Gospel, the Word of the Gospel of God. And there is a work that's going on inside of you by the living God using His very own Word, which effectually works also in you that believe. you who believe. You see, believing here is to hear and receive the gospel with the inward conviction that it's true. And you reject everything that is not true. You hear the words of the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 1 when he says, if anyone comes preaching any other gospel than that which you have heard, let him be anathema. You see it to be that serious. You understand there's not a multiplicity of true messages. There's only one. And you come to see it that way. The gospel is that true. So that you reject every other message, every other word, as from men and not from God. And those who would twist the Scriptures to lead you away from that gospel of grace that Paul came preaching, that was given to him by revelation of Jesus Christ, which he writes to us about, and the same message which we are proclaiming. If anybody else preaches any other message, you reject it. Believing here is to hear and receive the gospel of God with the inward conviction that there is no other way but God's way, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way to have the guilt of your sin removed. There is no other way to have peace with God except through Jesus Christ. Are you convinced that the word of the gospel of God has been preached to you? That has been preached to you is truly the word of God? Have you heard it as the word of God or simply the words of men? I heard a testimony Paul Washer gave that he was talking about a man that he had spent hours with following a meeting. Hours and hours with him. Just reading the Scriptures. Going. The man said, I'm dying. He had 3 months to live. He said, I'm dying. I've never had any interest in the Word of God. I've never even read the Word of God. Paul asked him, did you hear the gospel that was just preached? He said, I did hear it. He said, but I don't know how does that pertain to me? I don't get it. I don't, he wasn't registering with him. And he told him, I'm scheduled to fly out tomorrow, but I'm going to tell you, if you're serious about it, I'll cancel my flight and I'll stay here as long as it takes and I'll spend time with you in the Word of God until you see what you need to see. That's how significant it was to him. The man was reading the Scriptures. Paul kept going to the Scriptures and kept going over and over the Scriptures, and the man kept saying, I don't get it. I don't see it. I don't understand. And finally, Paul just sort of saying, okay. And this is the confidence in the Word of God. He said, okay. Rather than trying to find some illustration or find some sort of philosophical way to meander your way to the gospel, he just said, okay, let's go back. Let's go to John 3:16. You may have heard this story. He opened up John 3:16 and the man began to read John 3:16 out loud. And as he read it, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed. He said the man stopped. He stopped and he said, I'm saved. I'm saved. He has saved me. And Paul says, why would you say that? He said, didn't you hear what I just read? I don't think some of you are getting it, maybe. He heard. He didn't just hear. He really heard. And he believed. He responded. And his soul was assured in that moment that he was saved by this one that God sent into the world to give His life for sinners like him. Have you seen the Word of God like that? Has the Word of God spoken to you? Is it speaking to you like that? If you have a relationship to God, then His Word has spoken to you. This is one of the things that qualifies you as a believer, you see. You see that. But as it is in truth the Word of God, which effectually works also. It works also in you that believe. It's working in you. who are believers. This is one of the ways you know that you are a believer. The gospel, the Word of God, is operative. It's effectual. The translation here, effectually worketh, is a translation of one Greek word, which is really, it works in you. It operates in you. It's doing something in you. Working also. Believing then is not isolated from the Word of God. And it's not isolated from the impact of that Word. The fact is, if the Word of God is impacting you from the inside, that's evidence that you are believing. You're a believer. And so I say to you, when the Word of God effectually works in you, it is God working in you to do and to will of His good pleasure. Do you understand why Paul is saying, thank you, God, without ceasing? Thank you, God. It wasn't just me preaching that word, or Timothy preaching that word, or calling in the hotshot evangelist to preach that word. No. God working through that word in the hearts of those who heard. And when that happens, your assurance of salvation increases as that very word, through the living word, changes you. Has God spoken to you through His word? We who are the preachers, and those of you who have been spoken to by this word, why wouldn't you share this word to others? Why don't you do that? I challenge myself at this point. Because if I really believe that this word worked in me and is working in me by God, if I really believe that, wouldn't I hold that out as the only hope for anyone else? And so when Jonathan, owner of a bar downtown, came to me, this last week, broken. Brother just died 4 days ago. He's not broken over sin necessarily, he's just broken. And what do I do? What do I do? And I'm sitting there feeling helpless because I am helpless. But I said, can I show you some things that God's Word says? Can I show you something here? And I showed him. And I pointed him to Jesus Christ. I wish I could say I did so with more confidence than I did. I'm being transparent here. But I can tell you, looking at this Scripture today has encouraged me with greater confidence in the Word of God. I hope it has you. But I'm asking you, has God's Word spoken to you? What has been your response? Are you truly a believer? What change is His Word working in you? Are you a new creation in Christ Jesus? Or do you just know Jesus after the flesh? Lots of folks know Him after the flesh. Paul said, I no longer know Him after the flesh. And the very next verse is, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away, behold, all things are becoming new. Have you been changed by the Word of God like these Thessalonian believers? The fact is, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When God speaks through the Word of the Gospel, faith will come. Faith will come. And you will believe You're not just hearing the words of men at that point, and you'll know it. You'll know this is true. And the Word of God will continue to work in you as you continue to believe. You see, in that verse, the word believe, it's present active. You know what present active means? You're believing. And so the rest of your life will be the Word of God affecting you, changing you, working, operative in you through this faith, which is a gift of God to you. The changed life, a gift of God to you. And His kingdom and glory, a gift of God to you. It's an amazing salvation. What are you going to do? How are you going to respond? Father, we want to be able to give thanks to You today.